ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति। In today's Murli, the blessing of the Murli was very beautiful, in which Baba said that you must have all relationships with one. Baba alone is your companion. Of course, you have to cooperate with all, so everyone becomes cooperative of each other. But do not make any human being your companion. There's a big difference between someone who cooperates with you and someone who becomes your companion. When it is said somebody cooperates with you, it means you take help from him. You also give him help. Both help each other at the time of need. Maybe give company also to each other when needed. But that's just for the sake of the task. But when Baba talks about companion, it means the one who is constantly remembered. You do remember people when you want their cooperation. But then, that's a different thing. And the other is to have a constant companion whom you cannot forget, come what may. We say there are three types of remembrances. One type of remembrance is when you remember someone. And the second type of remembrance is when that remembrance comes to you naturally. It's not that you are making effort to remember. The first is you are making effort to remember. And the other is the remembrance comes very naturally to you. You don't make the effort to remember, but it comes to you. It's like you go to meet somebody or that one comes to meet you. It's a big difference. And the third type of remembrance is where it's not that you are remembering or remembrance is coming to you, but you can't stay without it. You are so much lost in it that you cannot think of anything else. Even if you want to avoid it, you cannot, because it is coming constantly. It is not unawaringly, it is very much awareingly, but it is so constant that even if you want to avoid it, you cannot avoid it. Now, these three types of remembrances are there in the world, and you all have the experience of that. One type of remembrance is when you are remembering someone. It is when you are in need of something from that someone. You know, there is some selfish motive. There's something which you want from him. and you remember him. Oh, how I wish that he was here, he could help me. And why do you remember him? Because probably he has helped you before. And now you need that help again and you feel that person can help you because he has helped you before and you have that experience of him helping you before and therefore you remember him. And very often it happens that we remember that person, we are in a group remembering that person. Oh, it would be so nice if he would be here. And all of a sudden he appears. All of a sudden he appears. You are remembering him. And he appears. And you say, oh, wonderful. It's good that you are here. We were just remembering you. And it's very often that how he responds to that thought. He'll say, why were you remembering me? What was the matter? In what way could I help you? Why were you remembering me? Means we were remembering that person because he could help us. So when there's some selfish motive, something which I want from him or which I know that he can help me in it, I remember that person. That is a selfish motive. Otherwise, why remember that person? That's why he responds, why were you remembering me? What was the reason? But the other is that I'm not remembering, but that remembrance is coming to me. That remembrance comes to me because of love. A mother loves the child, a child loves the mother. There is a very beautiful bond of love between the two. Maybe it has nothing to do with attachment or lust or whatever, but it is just love. And therefore, the remembrance is there. But then that is because of some relationship. If there would be no relationship, I mean the remembrance wouldn't come. It will come only, you will remember because of selfishness. But if the remembrance, you know, your mother, your father, your brother, your sister, there's a bond, a relationship, maybe a blood connection. And therefore it's remembered, you know, where my brother will be now, where will my sister will be, where my child will be, you know, and so on. Maybe my husband will be. So it's nothing to do with anything else but that bond of love is there because of a relationship. So it's not that you are remembering, but the remembrance is coming to you naturally. So there the reason is a bond of love. So big difference between you remembering and the remembrance coming to you naturally. In the first case, it is a selfish motive. The second case, it's a bond of affection. But the third is, when you can't forget, even if you're trying to forget, actually in the world, there are experiences of this type. When you're trying to forget, and you cannot forget, in spite of being told, don't remember now. It's when your near and dear one dies. Very near and dear one, but he has died. And you want to forget him because you know he will not come back. You know that relationship is over. You also have the knowledge that all relationships are based on karmic accounts. Somebody becomes your son, your father, your husband, your mother, your wife, anyone. But they are all based on karmic accounts, all relationships. Spiritually, these relationships don't exist. Spiritually, we are all souls and children of one Father. But very often it happens because that bond of love was so strong that it's so difficult to forget. In spite of knowing that it's no use remembering now, but then the remembrance is so intense. Even if you want to forget, you cannot forget. But then there is sorrow in that remembrance. Even in the remembrance in which you are remembering someone, because he has helped you before and now you want his help again, and you remember that person, in that also ultimately it can lead to sorrow. Why? Because maybe he helped you a few years ago because he could afford to help you. You wanted some money and you asked him and he said, yes, why not, I can help you. But now he is here and you are remembering him and it's because you want money again from him. And you tell him, well, you know, why I remembered you? Because I thought you could help me. I need some money. But then he can say, well, I'm sorry. Last time you asked for money, I could help you because I had plenty. But now I'm sorry, I cannot help you. What happens? Even though you remembered him. But now, because he refused to help, you feel the sorrow within, oh, he has betrayed me. So, that can also lead to sorrow. But then the middle type of relationship where the remembrance is coming natural because of bond of love, usually that love is based on something very interesting. It is because you see that person's good qualities. There's no selfish motive, but you see that person's good qualities. And because you are liking those good qualities of that person, yeah, he is being remembered. Oh, he's such a sweet soul. He's so lovely. You know, he has this good quality. So you're not remembering, but the remembrance is coming naturally because of the love, and the love is because of the good qualities of that person. But then again, in that there could be sorrow. Why there could be sorrow? Because no one is perfect anyway. And you are praising that person in front of someone. Oh, he's so good, he's so nice, you know, he's always helpful, all his good qualities you are describing. But then somebody in that group who's listening to what you are saying, I know him, don't talk much about him. I know what type of a person he is. Don't praise him too much. He's not really worth being praised that much. You know, something you can say. Because maybe that person has a bitter experience of him. And he will immediately react and say, oh, you think he's good, but I don't think he's good, you know, because of the bad experience he has had from him. Well, no one is perfect. Everyone has the goodness and the badness. And the moment you hear that, what is your feeling inside? You'll feel the sorrow. Oh, I have such admiration for him. You know, I see him from a very high, you know, with that high stage. But this person is thinking otherwise. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's not right, and you know, I don't want to argue with him. It's okay. It's his opinion. But that little sorrow does come because he gave a different opinion. So all these three types of remembrances, Baba says, ultimately give you sorrow. However close they may be. Because any type of worldly relationship is actually based on karmic accounts. And because of these karmic accounts, if they are good ones, then they can give you happiness. Otherwise, they can give a lot of sorrow. But then when Baba says, you remember me, you know, he keeps saying, and we also know the value of this remembrance. We also know how much attainment I can get through this remembrance. I also know that Baba is my true companion, the ultimate companion, the only companion who will accompany me. Because Supreme Being is eternal. Supreme Being, Baba, is always giving. He will never say, no, I cannot give you because I can't afford to give you. Human beings can say that. Human beings, if you have good feeling towards them because of their virtues, but they also have their defects. So their remembrance can sometimes give happiness, but sometimes also sorrow. And because relationships, worldly relationships, are after all limited, they are not forever. They're only for one birth, only one life. Maybe that soul comes in your life again in the next birth, but you won't know him. You won't say, oh, he was so and so in his past birth, he had this relationship with me. You don't know. Some people say that, why can't we remember our past life? Why can't we remember our past birth? He says, good, you know, you're not able to remember. If you could really remember, no? That now this, in this life, the one who's my wife, she's the one who killed me in my last life. She has become my wife in this, in the show and films. That somebody comes and tells the husband, you know, this wife whom you love so much, in your last birth, your last birth, she had murdered you. Supposing, I don't know, maybe it's all guesswork, but because he doesn't like the relationship to be so God, he can just say anything. Of course, there's no proof. Now, what will happen? There was an interesting film on this. Somebody was telling me the story on the TV, it's a serial. And immediately the emotions, the feelings, the intentions, the thoughts changed of the husband towards the wife. Oh, she murdered me in my last life or in her last life. And now she has so much love for him. She cannot even think of such a thing. But somebody put that thought in his mind. And then she gets this news because she starts wondering, why is he behaving with me in such a way? I love him so much. But then somebody tells her that somebody has injected this poison in his mind. And then, okay, even if she comes to know, but she'll try to explain to him, no, it's not like that, it's nothing, I don't know, it's all wrong. But it's so difficult to forget it. So therefore we say that human relationships, however good they may be, ultimately it can lead to sorrow. Whether you remember someone or remembrance is coming to you naturally or that you just can't forget. But then Baba says, what type of remembrance should Baba's remembrance be? It's not that you remember. It's because you need something from Baba, that's why you remember Baba. Oh, Baba, give me this, Baba, give me that. You know, that's what they do in bhakti. On the path of devotion, that's what they do. Like Baba said in today's Murli, a teacher is not going to bless you. Usually what students do when they have to appear for an examination, they'll go to the temple or go to the church or go to the mosque, whatever religion they belong to, and then they pray to God, please God, please make me pass. And if you make me pass, at least in Hindu religion it's like that, if you make me pass, I will offer so much bhog to you. 100 rupees bhog to you if you make me pass. And supposing he passes, it means that God heard his prayers and then he offers 100 rupees bhog, you know, to God in the temple. But supposing he fails, God didn't answer my prayers, he didn't pass me, then he won't offer bhog. Now, he offered bhog only because God passed him And he will not offer bhog if God has not passed him. Now again, this is selfishness. But on the other hand, if you see, the 100 rupees which he gave for bhog, for offering to God, that whose money was that? Because on the other hand, they do say in their prayers, this body belongs to you, this mind belongs to you, the wealth belongs to you, everything belongs to you. I belong to you. So, now the 100 rupees he gave because God passed him, and now God did not pass him, so no bhog, no offering to God. But then whose money was that? Was it his own money? Because he said in his prayers, God, everything belongs to you. But at that time, it's all a selfish relationship. Always asking for something. In prayers also, always asking for something. And here Baba says, meditation is not prayers. It's a big difference between meditation and prayers. Someone very interestingly said, in prayers you speak to God. In meditation, God speaks to you. That's one way of saying. But meditation does not mean that you are asking something from Baba. Some people say, no, I don't ask for wealth or for anything physical. I just ask for peace. Baba, give me peace. Baba, give peace to my children. Give peace to my father. He's sick, Baba. Please help him. You know, many Baba's children also do that. But then Baba says, asking is like begging. We all know it's all karmic accounts. But yes, when we remember Baba, we get that strength to face that situation well. We have to face that situation well, but we need the strength. So make Baba your companion and you face that situation well. Whatever the situation may be, not asking for help. Because again, Baba helps those who help themselves. You have to help yourself first. You are sick and you say, oh, doctor will come. Baba, send the doctor. Well, you have to do something for the doctor to come. So, physically, if you are asking anything from Baba and then saying, yes, Baba, you are my companion, you have to help me. That's not the right approach. Some say, I could, okay, don't ask for physical help, but I just ask for peace and love and happiness. Baba, keep loving me. Baba, keep, continue to be with me. Well, Baba knows that. And if I say, Baba, give peace to so and so and so and so, peace is not something to be asked for. Even if Baba does give me peace, how will I know that I have got peace from Baba? But how will I experience peace when I'm thinking about peace? As you think, so you become. And that's why we say, Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. I am a peaceful soul, I am the child of the ocean of peace, and I am the resident of the abode of peace. The moment I say this, peace is within me. Nobody takes away my peace, it is within me, it's just awareness and forgetfulness. It is my natural state of consciousness, peace. And therefore, even that's not to be asked for. Then what to say? Therefore Baba says, in meditation, it's not that we're asking for something, but definitely, what we have that awareness that all this belongs to Baba. It doesn't belong to me anyway. I did not bring with me on this earth, and nor will I take with me. These physical things won't accompany me. Only my karma will accompany me. It's my karma which I brought with me. So that I have to pay attention to make sure that I perform the right karma. So physical things I don't ask for, but then whatever I have that awareness, it's Baba who has given this to me. I'm only an instrument. I'm a trustee of them. And when I'm using them, I'm also remembering Baba naturally because Baba has given this to me. And well, I'm also thanking Baba, that Baba, you found me worthwhile, that you have given this to me to make good use of it, to use all that in a worthwhile way. So that is remembrance. That is love. It's not selfishness. And if it will be in my fate, I'll get it. I don't have to ask for it. But I can surely thank Baba for what I already have. Because in the world there are so many who don't even have this, what we have. We are definitely very fortunate. You know? Many Baba's children who are living in far away countries, they can't afford to buy the ticket. Really, they say, oh, you're so lucky, you're going to Madhuban. I've been to Brazil and Argentina and Chile, you know, all these far away places. And there's so many Baba's children who have been in Gyan for 10 years, 15 years, but they've never come to Madhuban. Because they cannot afford the money, you know, the ticket. And others do feel, oh, poor thing, you know, how we can afford. But then we tell them, no, 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 don't worry, you remember Baba and Baba will send you in some way. But still if some can't, then the dadis feel really very sorry for them and then dadis send the seniors there. Because they can't come anyway, the seniors go there, Madhuban Nivasis go there and they feel that they are close to Madhuban. That's the feeling. And therefore, well, it does happen, not that it doesn't happen. But then doesn't mean that I stay dissatisfied. Baba says you have to be happy wherever you are, in whatever situation you are, come what may, don't give up your happiness. You try your best, don't ask for blessings, but you try your best and then leave it to drama, because that's how it is destined. And therefore, we don't ask for anything. We don't even ask for peace and love. But then what do we say? It's a positive approach. I am a peaceful soul, I am a child of the ocean of peace, I am resident of abode of peace and immediately feel the peace. Because that's my true nature. I become aware of myself. And there are some people who don't ask for values or don't ask for things. You know what they ask for? They ask for forgiveness all the time. You know, many people will go to church and every Sunday they go to church for confession. I did this mistake, I did this mistake, I did this, committed this sin, I performed this sin. Please God, forgive me. Now whether God forgave or not, who knows. But they just ask for forgiveness. And then they are satisfied that they have given all their sins to God, spoke the truth, you know, and the Father, whoever in the church. I once asked how they confess. So that sister told me, they just speak. You know, they speak and the father is there with his ear and he's listening and he becomes an instrument and sends that thing to God. And Christ or whoever, and to God. And then God forgives. I said, that is very easy, you know. Just tell, okay, you tell the truth and God forgives. But then when you go back, you perform the same sinful actions again. So what's the use? And also we don't know whether God forgave or not. Baba also sometimes says that you should write your life story. All the sinful actions you have done, Baba said in today's Murli, you all remember. A child remembers, you know, somebody remembers his childhood days. From the age of 3, he can remember, or if not, then at least 6. Baba says, yes, I also remember my village, you know, today's Murli, Baba said, where Baba was born and where he played when he was a child in the village of Hyderabad, Sindh. So, Baba also remembers, Sakar Baba. Everyone remembers their childhood. Until this age also, we all remember. And therefore, we can write that. Yes, write and then surrender to Baba. That's all. Okay, Baba says, yes, I forgive half of your sins. In the sense you have given to Baba, what does it mean by that Baba forgives half of the sins? Because you tell Baba and you become light. That's fine. But then it's not just telling Baba. After that, you have to make a promise to not repeat that mistake. Because after making that mistake, you realized it and you told Baba, but then along with that, you make a promise to Baba, Baba, I will not repeat this mistake. And that's what Baba says a true effort maker is. Because once I made a mistake, okay, I learnt a lesson. Let me not repeat that mistake. Supposing somebody puts his finger in fire and the finger has been burnt. You know, the fire burns. Now definitely next time he will not put his finger. There's a very interesting saying in Hindi. Supposing somebody has got hot milk to drink, but it's so hot and he takes a sip, and when he takes a sip, his tongue, you know, gets burnt, like it affects the tongue, because it was too hot. Now he knows that anything white, it is going to be hot. Next time he is given buttermilk, buttermilk to drink, and he thinks this is milk. And he'll be very cautious because it may be hot. Now buttermilk is not hot. But because he has the experience of drinking hot milk, which is white, and this buttermilk is also white, and therefore it's going to be hot. But so once experienced, then he's afraid of experiencing it again. But then definitely he has to have a right judgment, because the first time he had a wrong judgment and therefore he burnt his tongue. But second time he knows it's not milk, it is buttermilk, so there's no need to worry. There's a very beautiful saying on this. A wrong judgment can lead to a bad experience. A wrong judgment can lead to a bad experience. But don't allow that bad experience to repeat. And therefore you have to have a good judgment. So a wrong judgment can lead to a bad experience, but that bad experience should lead you to a good judgment later on. Again, very interesting. So when the judgment is good for the next time, you won't have that bad experience again. And for that you need to commit yourself that I will not repeat this mistake. And that's a true effort maker. But then each time confessing and again repeating the mistake, like Baba said in yesterday's Murli, or was the day before yesterday's Murli, or maybe today, because Baba said that businessmen, they tell so many lies in their business and then they earn a lot of money. Well, all lies, and then they make a lot of money. And then they give a portion of that wealth which they have earned for charity. And they think that by giving it in charity, those sins which have committed, you know, by telling lies and all that, by deceiving people, now God will forgive me. So they give that some portion in charity. But then what about the rest of the sins they have committed? They go and bathe in the Ganges. All my sins will go. But Baba says this is only deceiving yourself. Because if I have done some karma, I definitely will reap for those karmas. But when I'm telling God, definitely I'm also relieving myself. Because if I don't, then I'm not able to forgive myself. You know, very often we are not able to forgive ourselves for the mistakes we make. So we have to tell Baba to be relieved from that force of that wrong action. But then, if there is a promise after that, a commitment, some resolution that, Baba, I will not do it again, I resolve it. And when that I'm able to commit myself, I feel relieved, because the next time something happens, I'll remember, I won't do it. Because I've already had a bad experience. But if I don't commit myself, I don't promise myself, I can make that mistake again. And therefore Baba says, don't just tell Baba and then repeat those mistakes. But then tell Baba the truth and then promise not to repeat that mistake. And therefore Baba says, to make me your constant companion, keep me with you all the time. In every action you do. I remember one sister, how she would do that. She would drink water. Baba, drink water with me. Baba, eat with me. Baba, walk with me. Baba, means she's talking to Baba all the time inside. And I saw her murmuring, you know, and I said, what are you saying? She said, I'm talking to Baba. It was good. And once she shared an experience, supposing I've lost something. I said, Baba, where is it? Baba, where is it? Baba, I don't know where it is. Baba, please get it for me. And there, you know, that thing appears. Because Baba gives it to her. Baba brings it to her. Once she left her slippers somewhere, her shoes somewhere, and then she couldn't find them. Baba, where are my shoes? Where are my shoes? Baba, I can't find my shoes. Baba, she's saying. And there, the shoes were there. So like, Baba is helped her. It is very interesting. She shares her experience in such a beautiful way that I always make Baba my companion. Come what may. I'm talking to Baba, I'm eating with Baba, I'm walking with Baba, everything with Baba. So on the path of bhakti, they show Meera. All the time in that stage of experience, always lost in Krishna's love. You know, talking to Krishna all the time, eating with Krishna. They show a very beautiful movie of Meerabai. They show that she was a queen, her husband was a king, but then she was always lost in Krishna's bhakti, always in Krishna's bhakti. And then she's telling her husband, that because he brought her a gold necklace, and he said, this is for you. Oh, this is beautiful, I will wear it on Krishna. Anything her husband would give her, she would say, I will give it to Krishna, I will give it to Krishna. And her husband was very upset. Everything you want to give to Krishna, this is for you. She says, no, Krishna will give me. Means I don't want to take from you, the husband. Because if I wear it, I'll remember my husband. No? But if I give it to Krishna, then Krishna is giving, okay, I'll remember Krishna when I'm wearing it. This is what her idea was. So eating with Krishna, dancing with Krishna, everything with Krishna. Krishna was everything to her. And how this thought came in her that Krishna is my true companion. It was actually an interesting story. She was just 8 years old. Only 8 years old, and she was a princess, no? Living in a beautiful house. And so one day she was watching a marriage procession. Her mother took her to a marriage procession. And she watched that the girl and the boy, means the couple, and she asked her mother, Mother, who is this man? Who is this man? And the mother said that he is her companion. He's a companion. He's her husband. Or he's her husband. Then she asked mother very, very innocently, Mother, who is my husband? You know, like a small girl asking her mother, who is my husband? Because she didn't know what husband meant, you know, husband. Who is my husband? And now what the mother will reply? She said, your husband is Krishna. But then where is Krishna? And then the mother had that statue of Krishna. The mother gave it to him. This one is your husband. She was only 8 years old. And since then, since the age of 8, her mother gave her that statue of Krishna and told her, this one is your husband. And she never left that statue. Even when she forcefully got married, but then she kept her statue of Krishna with her. My husband is Krishna. My husband is Krishna. My true companion is Krishna. And therefore they show stories that how her husband was a king. I mean, he was so annoyed, so upset, And so many times he tried to get her killed, but then how they show Krishna came to help and she was saved. And ultimately she went away into the forest with the sannyasis, with the sadhus, and became like a sage. She didn't accept that that those, the palaces and the gold and the diamonds, she didn't accept that, because she had love only for Krishna. So Krishna was her companion. But then Baba says in the Murlis that although Krishna was her companion, that's what she said, because she would sleep with him, eat with him, talk to him, everything with just Krishna, nobody else. And that annoyed her husband very much. But that's what she was. And then definitely how Baba says, even though she did all that, but she could not go to the kingdom of Krishna. No, she couldn't go to golden age. She's heading or leading the rosary of devotees. But to go to the land of Krishna, you have to become like Krishna. Of course she was leading a pure life, no doubt. But then she was only like, she felt that she was like a servant of Krishna, not the queen of Krishna. She didn't feel that. And for Radhe, who was always with Krishna, Krishna loved her very much. You know, there's a song on there. What's the difference between Radhe and Meera? So they show that Radhe was, she was madly in love with Krishna. But then because she was madly in love with Krishna, she did not want Krishna to be away from her. But if Krishna spoke to anyone else, she would be jealous. Why is Krishna talking to that gopi? Krishna is only mine and nobody else's. She would be jealous of that other gopi. And she was always shown to be like jealous. Although Krishna told her, I love you very much, I love you very much. But why that gopi came? Why you spoke to him? Why you spoke to her? Why didn't she speak to you? You know, all that. Like jealousy. But Meera was not like that. So they say that Radhe was like a jealous lover. And Meera was a devoted lover. You know, big difference. But she always, like a devotee at the feet of Krishna. So big difference. But Baba says, although Krishna, I don't think Radhe in Satyuga will be so jealous, you know. I don't think that jealousy is there, because all these scriptures are written only in copper age when all these vices came. If the pure, the love there will be so pure. So, and also I don't think they will meet and dance like that before they get married. The parents get them married, you know. Not like in today's world, you have to choose your bride, whom you want to choose. They go beforehand outside. But not, I don't think, in the earlier days in India, it was never like that. The parents chose, and that was the right couple. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is that Baba is now our companion. At the confluence age, we are in such a period which is totally different from golden age, silver age, copper age, iron age. In golden age and silver age, we are reaping the fruit of all the good actions we do now. So everything there is natural. Baba says, whatever you do at the confluence age, that takes a natural form in golden age. Like Baba was saying the other day, you become soul conscious at this time. You make effort to become soul conscious and make this natural in you. Then in golden age, it is so natural in you that the time of leaving the body, the soul leaves the body so naturally. Baba gives the example of a hair coming out of butter so easily. The soul leaves the body so easily. In Kali Yuga, there is so much sorrow. You know, the time of leaving birth, leaving the body, there is so much sorrow. Because the soul is so attached to the body. But then we need a lot of practice to be bodiless. Then at the end, how we will leave the body so easily? Because it's easy for us to detach the self from the pull of the body. The physical body, the costume becomes loose. You know, why there's sorrow? Because the physical body, which is the costume, is so much attached to the soul. It's like wearing very tight clothes. And when you have to remove those tight clothes, it's quite painful. It's not easy to remove tight clothes. In the earlier days, people used to wear, churidar, very, very tight pajama, very tight. And sometimes when they would remove, it would tear because it was so tight. But when it's loose, it's so easy to remove. And therefore, Baba says, this is a costume, this is a dress, and you should be able to take it off or be beyond in a second. But you need a long time practice. And in golden age, this practice becomes natural. But then, in order to make Baba your companion, all the time, you have to always check yourself. Whether I'm having any pull of anyone. Any pull. Because if that pull is there, if that attachment is there, then at the time of leaving the body, that one will be remembered. There is a very interesting story on this, that there was one devil in the scriptures. His name was Ajamil, a big sinner. He had committed many sins in his lifetime. But he was told that if at the time of your death, if you remember Narayan, means God, Narayan is God, and the scriptures, so if you remember Narayan, then all your sins will be washed away and you will be liberated, if you remember Narayan. Now, when his son was born, he named him Narayan. He named him Narayan. And at the time of his death, he said, Narayan, Narayan, Narayan. Actually, he was attached to his son and he was remembering his son. But then Narayan, means God, thought that he's remembering me. And Narayan means God liberated him because he remembered Narayan at the time of his death. Now, Baba, in his Lokic life, he heard the story of Ajamil, the sinner. So, from his guru he heard this story. So, he was, of course, now in worldly life. And Baba's Lokic youngest son, his name was Narayan. Because Baba called him Narayan. Why? Baba heard that story of Ajamil, the sinner, whose son's name was Narayan. And even if he remembered his son, but God Narayan thought that he's remembering me, and he liberated Ajamil. So Baba heard that story and that inspired him. So when his son was born, Narayan Dada, Baba's Lokic son, he named him Narayan. Because he said, maybe when I die, because this son was the youngest son, he had five children, no? Three daughters and the last one was a son. So Baba named him Narayan, that supposing I die and I'm remembering my son, God Narayan will liberate me because I'm remembering Narayan. And therefore many people, they keep the name of their child on name of God, because they remember him at the time of death, and God will think that this devotee is remembering me. So there are stories in the scriptures. But then Baba says, it's not so easy to remember God at the end. We need a long time practice. So those on the path of devotion, when they are on the deathbed, have seen people in what situation they are. However much you may tell them, remember God, You have to go back to him. They just can't. My son, my money, my house, my shop, my this, my that. I remember once, you know, I went to meet someone. She was on her deathbed. But she was crying and crying and crying and crying. Deathbed, but crying. Not in pain. It's not that she had bodily pain because of which she was crying. And when we were asking her, why are you crying? Why are you crying? They thought she has some pain. Do you need anything? But crying and crying and crying. So they came to the center and I was there and the daughter said, please, can you help me? Can you come to meet my mother? She's crying all the time. So I said, yes, why not? And because she said she's on the deathbed. And I went to see her. And when I asked her, why are you crying? You know, now it's time to remember God. Especially terminally ill patients, how they have to be treated. And so I was telling her, you are so good, you are so good, you are so great. You know, you love God, God loves you, you know, all that. But she was still crying. So I asked her, what is the reason? You know what she said? She said, my son did this to me, my daughter-in-law did that to me, my father did that to me. You know, all the old things she was remembering and all the sorrow she was taking at that time. And because of that, she was crying. So I said, but that's all over. Father died many years ago. Husband also died many years ago. The children were there, but all complaining about this one and that one and that one and crying. Just imagine. Not even having attachment, but crying. Because of the sorrow she had received in her lifetime. Just imagine. This is all ignorance, is it not? And therefore Baba tells us that don't have any pulls. Baba teaches us the three dots. I'm a soul, Baba, point of light, Baba is a point of light, drama is also a point. Remember the three points. And when we remember that, we are having the practice of that. At the end, it will be very, very easy for us to go beyond in 1 second. We hear news of so many souls leaving the body and they do describe that how that soul left so peacefully, because she was in Baba's remembrance. No pulls, no attachments, no one's remembrance. But for that, you need a long time practice. And how will that long time practice come? When I'm seeing Baba as my true companion. Yes, sometimes I see Baba as a point of light. I'm also as a point of light. I'm talking to that point of light. Sometimes we can see through Brahma Baba's angelic form. I'm in my angelic form. But Baba is my companion. No human beings are being remembered. There are no pulls whatsoever, no attachments whatsoever. And that experience will help me at the end. Somebody may say, well, I don't think it's the end now. But Baba says, you never know. You never know. I can share my experience in this, you know. Because anytime accidents happen, and at one instance, immediately the soul can leave the body in those accidents. And I have that very interesting experience. Of course, I didn't leave the body. I wouldn't be here otherwise. But it was a very, very interesting experience. I won't take long in telling all that. But I can surely say that how it was a big crash. There was somebody who came in the way and the driver tried to stop his car. We were in the car. And he tried to apply a brake, very strong brake. But then probably the brake couldn't be applied or something happened. And he turned the wheel and the car moved. And at that time there was a big pit or maybe a big pillar in front or a big pit there. Something was there. And at that time as the car moved, the wheel crashed. everything, you know, it was all a big crash. And at that time, my heartbeat stopped. And I told Baba, Baba, I'm coming to you. You know, I really literally said that. I didn't think of anything else. Baba, I'm coming to you. But then, well, how Baba had helped. The car neither went into that big pit, nor it crashed against a pillar, but there were bushes there. And the car went and just leapt over the bushes very, very peacefully. And we were three, four people inside. We tumbled inside the car, and one on top of the other in the car. But luckily, because the car turned very slowly and it just like slept over the bushes, we were just on top of each other. But nobody was injured, just a few bruises here and there, but we were all saved. And each one was sharing the experience, how we remembered Baba at that time, and how Baba took us in his lap. If you would see the car, it was totally smashed. Anybody who would not know who were in the car, he would say, all must have died. It was totally smashed. The window screen was smashed and the door was smashed. Everything, I don't know what happened. But we were all safe inside, only with a few bruises, that's all. Like Baba, you know, held us in his hands. But then, at that time, the experience of being with Baba is very important. So Baba is my true companion at every step. So when they say on the path of bhakti, I eat with you, I drink with you, I sleep with you, I walk with you, I dance with you. So that's how, just one companion. Just one Baba, none other. And anything happens, Baba should be remembered. Baba is not the last support. Very often on the path of devotion, people remember God as the last support. When they can't find anybody else as support, they will go for other support. And when there's no support available, only now, God, only you can help me. God, only you can help me. But then, Baba is the only support. The first and the last. Yes, Baba will send someone to help you, definitely. And that someone who comes to help you has been touched by Baba. Think in that way. It's not that, yes, God will help me, and others are coming to help me, and I don't want their help. No, God will help me. Not like that. But yes, I remembered Baba, and Baba touches somebody, because Baba's help will also come through somebody, no? It won't come as a miracle from nowhere. It will come through someone. And therefore, Baba should be remembered first. And then, of course, Baba's touchings will come. What to do next? What to do next? The line is of the intellect is clear. Clear intellect, what Baba says. No confusion whatsoever. No fear. No panic. No stress. And how the help will come. Because when there's confusion, panic, stress, you can't make a right judgment. Definitely not. And it's going to become worse. But if your mind is peaceful with Baba's remembrance, how the judgment also comes very accurately, because the intellect is touched by Baba. Baba helps in that way. But for that, again, you need a long time practice. Because the last paper will be only a 1 second. When Baba says suddenly and ever ready and long time practice, and the paper is just of 1 second at the end. But when that paper will come, we don't know. Although it's a 1 second. In the world, we appear for examinations. But examination dates are announced beforehand. And we prepare for our examinations for a long time, no doubt. But we don't know what the question paper will be. We just know that on such and such date, at such and such place, so date and place, and that's announced. But what will come in the question paper, that we don't know. Date and place is announced. But here, it's opposite. What is opposite? Date and place is not announced. It can happen any time, we don't know. But the question paper is declared. That this is the question paper. What is the question? A 1 second. At the end, no one else to be remembered except Baba. No why and how and when and where, no. That's all later on. The first is Baba's remembrance. And then everything will come. So my Baba is my true companion, my true friend, my true beloved. My every relationship I can think of, and definitely I can make Baba my constant companion. Is it possible or not possible? Or human beings will be remembered? Those who think no human being will be remembered, just Baba, none other, raise your hand. Not everyone is raising, because some are doubting, because human attachments are there, human bondages are there, human pulls are there. So that's what we have to overcome. And it's not difficult, it's easy. Just little bit of practice. Okay, Om Shanti. Anyone has any questions? Anybody has any questions? No? Baba answers all the questions. Okay, so let us now sit in that remembrance.